One of the groups that is keeping a close eye on what the president will do is IAVA. That's the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, a group that was founded by Paul Rykoff, who's been a guest on my show many times through the years. Paul couldn't join me today, but he has asked one of his colleagues to come on and talk a little bit about veterans issues here in 2009. This is Tom Tarantino. Tom was an Army captain who served in combat as both a cavalry and mortar platoon leader and was awarded the Combat Action Badge and Bronze Star and is now a policy associate for IAVA. And Tom, thanks for your service and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Paul.
Were you at the inaugural yesterday?
Well, I was standing in line for 3 hours waiting to get in. But as with many thousands of people on the south side, we were not able to get in. The lines just seemed to not move. But fortunately, I walked a few blocks to my office, which oddly was closer to the ceremony than I would have been standing in line, and got to watch it in my heated office.
Tell me a little bit about being out there in the crowd and waiting in line, because I heard at one point yesterday that the authorities, law enforcement, actually closed down the mall. I used to live in Washington years and years ago, and I didn't know that you actually could close the mall. How did they do that, and were people going through airport-like security on the way in?
As far as I could tell, I mean, it wasn't quite as stringent as airport-like security, but there was definitely populace control measures in place. There were barricades. There were fences. It was a pretty complex plan, and given the amount of area they had to cover and the amount of people that were coming in and out, it was pretty impressive.
And did you get to go to any of the balls last night?
Yes, I went to the Heroes Ball last night. I actually got to go to three this week, so I'm a little bit tired, and it's been rough.
All right, well, I'm sure you had a late night, so I appreciate you coming on with me this morning. Tell me about the Heroes Ball. Was that dedicated to you and your fellow veterans?
Well, it was done by the USO and the Department of Defense Tragedy Assistance Program, and it was a great event at the Warner Theater. There was a lot of military people, a lot of soldiers, a lot of wounded warriors, which I love hanging out with. You know, that's why I do this, because after I left the military, I wanted to continue working and serving with soldiers. So it was a thrill for me. And, you know, we got to see George Clinton play, which is pretty awesome.
Let's talk a little bit about issues that you and other veterans are facing, particularly our wounded veterans. I was yesterday watching as the reports were coming in about what the new president will do about Iraq and Afghanistan, and the count now is up to 4,229 dead, and we're well past some 30,000 who have been wounded in action. There has not been nearly enough done for them under the previous administration. Do you expect that to change under the new one?
Yes, actually. I think one of the biggest difference between the previous administration and this administration is the level of dialogue that President Obama and his team has had with the veteran service community since the election. Previously, with the Bush administration, there was no dialogue. There was really no open lines of communication. We had to pretty much drag them kicking and screaming to every issue. The day after the election, we were getting phone calls from the transition team. And it's not just IAVA, it's, you know, the VFW and the Disabled Veterans and the Military Coalition, and all the veteran and military service organizations have seen a substantial increase in just dialogue and the ability to work through issues. And so we're really hoping that in his first 100 days, the president is going to change a few things that we think have been lacking.
Such as?
Well, we would like him to see him prioritize veterans in the economic stimulus package. The problem is that veterans tend to be a bit more susceptible to economic downturns. The foreclosure rate for military communities is 4 times the national average. The unemployment rate is 8% higher for recently separated veterans. The problems that we have is that there's no way to simply track veterans. We really don't know how many veterans we have in this country. Only 30% of veterans use the VA, as far as we know. So what you have to do is you have to stimulate systems. You have to give tax credits to employers who hire veterans. You have to give tax credits to employers who pay the salary differences for veterans that are, or for reservists and National Guardsmen who are deployed. You need to do things like make the GI Bill retroactive to those who served prior to 9/11. That would go a long way in providing some economic stimulus and relief to the people who are really at the elite of the public service in this country who choose to serve in the military.
And when they come home, are they finding difficulty getting back into their jobs? I'm not just talking about employers who are blocking that access, but the psychology of a soldier returning from 12 to 15 months or more at war, coming back and trying to assimilate back into regular daily American life.
Right, and this is, you know, that touches on a lot of issues. You know, mental health issues is going to be a number one priority for IAVA in the next year, and our top of that list is mandatory mental health counseling for every soldier and Marine and sailor and airman who returns. Face-to-face, 10 minutes, a professional looking that person in the eye right upon return and then again during the health reassessments. And, you know, that would go a long way towards reducing the stigma attached to mental health injuries and catching these before they develop into more debilitating conditions. And really fighting that stigma and catching this early is what's going to help us change the national consciousness so that employers aren't worried about their employees returning from combat, so that people understand what their brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers are going through. Because when people come home from war, they don't come home to these segregated military communities. We come home to our communities, to our homes, especially in the National Guard and Reserve, where you can go from downtown Baghdad to your front doorstep in as little as 36 to 72 hours.
And when we're talking about mental health, I hear that the Pentagon is resisting giving Purple Hearts to those who have suffered traumatic brain injury and post-traumatic stress disorder from this conflict. Is that true?
Yeah, and you know what? I think you're going to find that universal amongst the veteran community as well. You're going to find many of the VSOs are going to resist giving Purple Hearts to post-traumatic stress, and that's for a variety of reasons. The Purple Heart was designed for a physical injury caused by direct action with the enemy. The problem with giving PTSD patients Purple Hearts is that you don't know. There's so many things that can cause post-traumatic stress. There's not one physical injury. There's not one trigger. And you can develop post-traumatic stress far later than at the point of injury.
Right.
So it's not a question of whether people who are suffering from mental health injuries deserve the recognition. That's not the question. It's just whether the Purple Heart is an appropriate award. And just what it was designed for and what it does, it's just not really appropriate for mental health injuries.
I'm sure that those who are suffering from those injuries are much more worried about getting the care that they need. Which
exactly.
That has seriously been a problem throughout this this war in Iraq and Afghanistan, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And when we talk about these issues, that's one of them where they say, well, you know, they're not getting Purple Hearts. And we say, well, you know what they're not getting? They're not getting adequate funding for health care.
Yeah.
They're not getting enough mental health care professionals in the VA and the DOD. So let's talk about that before we start, you know, talking about medals.
Talking with Tom Tarantino from the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America. Are you guys happy with General Eric Shinseki as the head of the VA, as the Secretary for Veterans Affairs?
Absolutely. I mean, I think we were hoping for an Iraq or Afghanistan veteran, but if it was a Vietnam-era guy, that's the guy. You know, General Shinseki is a proven leader. He is a disabled veteran himself. He brings an amazing amount of credibility to the job, and think that he has the ability to transform the VA from a passive, antiquated system to something that's more modern, that's more proactive, that can really serve veterans, not just in my generation, but veterans in the future.
He was also the four-star general who, towards the beginning of the thought process of going into Iraq, said, look, if we're going, we got to go with a huge number of people, which the Bush hierarchy rejected, unfortunately. Do you think that he will have the new president's ear when it comes to what we do militarily throughout the world, or will the VA and Pentagon line of separation still be a hard one?
Well, I think when it comes to policy decisions, he's going to stay in his lane. But there's a lot of policy recommendations that the VA secretary can make to the president that are, you know, they're not going to be easy. They're not going to be easy decisions. It's going to be changing a system that has existed for 7 years and, you know, really is very resistant to change. So I think he will take his ability to speak his mind and use his experience, despite how popular the opinion is, and bring that to the VA world. I think when we talk about separating the walls between the DOD and the VA, those need to be administrative walls that need to be separated. We need to be able to transfer records easily between the DOD and the VA. We need to have a better handoff with disability between the DOD and the VA. So I think the fact that he was such a high-ranking officer in the DOD hierarchy, he understands that language. He understands VA disability because he is a disabled veteran himself. So I think he will go a long way into improving communications between those separate branches of government.
And what about President Obama? His approval ratings among the general public are well above 80% here at the start of his administration. Do soldiers like him?
You know what? It's funny because everyone always asks, you know, what does the military think? Well, the military thinks about what the country thinks. The military is a pretty decent cross-section of the United States. The difference is that the military doesn't make policy, so, you know, people in uniform generally don't make overarching policy statements because, you know, it's not their job, and thank God, you know. When the military starts making policy in a country, bad things happen. Military executes. I think, you know, the military approval of the president is about the same as the rest of the country. And, you know, I mean, this part of that's a honeymoon period, and we're going to see if the president's going to live up to his word. He's made a lot of big promises to the veteran community and to the military community. So far, and through the actions of his transition team in the last few months working with us and other veteran service organizations, he seems to be living up to him, but we're going to hold him accountable, and we're not going to let him deviate one bit from these things he's promising us.
And when it comes to promises, what about getting out of Iraq and then pressing on into Afghanistan?
Well, you know, I mean, now you get to talk about strategic policy, and IAVA, we really don't talk about that much because, you know, even if you could wave a magic wand and end these wars tomorrow, you're still going to have 1.7 million veterans out there who need health care, who need education benefits, who are coming home, who need mental health services. So I think those discussions are good discussions to have, but they're not really constructive when we're talking about serving veterans. I think, you know, if you're going to ask me just my own opinion looking at a crystal ball, yeah, we are probably going to draw down Iraq and we're going to have to draw up Afghanistan. But, you know, these are all strategic decisions that are made, you know, in dark rooms down the street, you know, here in D.C.
Well, Tom, I have long been an advocate for those of you who have served and are continuing to serve in the uniform of the United States, and I find it disgraceful the way you're treated when you come home, not just by the government of this country, but by too many people in this country. It's not quite the rejection that our Vietnam veterans felt, of course, because of the unpopular war that they fought in, but too many people have forgotten that we do have men and women with boots on the ground, not just in the Middle East, but in so many other places around the world, and that when each of you comes home, whether it's giving him a little handshake at Lambert Airport or saying a hello when we see you in uniform or giving him a job when they come back into the workplace or whatever it is, there needs to be a lot more respect and a lot more done for each and every one of you. And I hope that you and Paul and the rest of the people at IAVA are continuing to be successful in your mission here in 2009.
Thanks, Paul. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining me today. Tom Tarantino from IAVA, the Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, here on The McGraw Show with Paul Harris on the Big 550 KTRS.